Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Happy Friday Eve, everybody. It is Thursday, May 18th, 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by our head of production, Mr. Seth Habhager.
Good morning, everyone.
We're going to have some fun today.
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff lined up for you. We're going to kick things off talking about something that IHOP is doing. I want to know what people think. Oscar Mayer did something with their Wienermobile.
Oh.
We got to talk about that.
What are they doing with the Wienermobile,
huh? We got to talk about that, yes. Especially got two guys doing the show. Hey!
Oh.
8 o'clock hour is going to have some fun stuff lined up in there. We are going to get into right away after we get a live and direct update from Paul Trombley and our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. I want to do something Seth and I haven't gotten to do in quite some time, rock history.
Let's do some rock history.
We're going to do some rock history. We're going to do some day of music, big music moments in this day. We got some audio to go along with it. It's
nice.
Going to be fun. Looking forward to it, as long as YouTube cooperates. See how that goes.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah.
Live radio. You never know. We're going to get into all that. That is going to be a bunch of fun. Of course, 8 o'clock hour is also going to feature Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. 9 o'clock hour, we kick things off the way we like to on Thursdays with our Pet of the Week from our friends at the Southwood County Humane Society.
Woohoo.
See what furry friend Madison Rafter is going to bring in with us today. A big shout out to her and, of course, our friends over at the Southwood County Humane Society. Love this. One of my favorite days of the week now is Thursday. I used to not really care much about Thursday one way or the other. Now it is one of my favorite days by far and away.
There you go. It's awesome.
We got plenty of other things to get to. 9 o'clock hour, some entertainment news. We're going to touch on some fun things there. I wanted to mention somebody who did something with Taylor Swift tickets that I've never heard of.
Ooh, okay.
And we've got some exciting news regarding the Muppets that we got to touch on as well. I want to get to that.
Muppet news, man.
Yeah, that's all going to be coming up.
You dig it.
How you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. I'm doing all right.
Good to hear.
Everything going good so far. I've not been awake that long, so that's, you know, not a lot of bad stuff could have happened yet.
That's always a good feeling, you know. Maybe I got this wrong, because I used to think, it's one of the worst things to do, ask somebody how they're doing when you first see them in the day, like at this early in the morning. And
right.
This is you haven't woken up.
Yeah.
You're not really all that together yet. You don't know. But that's a good point. A good point. Nothing can have happened yet, in theory.
Yeah, because you just haven't been moving around for a while, much in the morning already. So you can let's take the wins where we can get them.
Yes.
So far, so good. Let's 100%. Keep it going. Yeah.
We've been, this is something we've been incorporating for a while now, going back to the old studio and even before the last two ownerships and everything. We've been wanting to get more of interaction with our audience and talk with you guys more and communicate with you guys more. So I thought it'd be fun to have more and more topics where we can include the audience.
Right.
That's going to take some time to build. Mm-hmm. You know, if you guys aren't used to calling in, you can't expect people to call in right away.
Right.
But 424-2600, I want everybody to have that in their phones. I want everybody to have that number set and ready to go.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be asking you to call in with different times, like right now.
Ooh.
Call up at 424-2600. I want to know what you guys think of this one. We've got, traditional, wonderful breakfast foods.
Right.
Journalistically, I should mention I could live off breakfast foods.
That's a good thing.
As long as you threw some Dago, some Italian food in there every once in a while.
Every once in a while.
My system would be able to handle living off of breakfast foods. I love them.
Nice.
A big fan of IHOP. I like IHOP. I've been there many times. It's been a long time since I've been there, but I'm a big fan. So journalistically, I want to add all of those things that I am in favor of this, and I have no integrity with this topic whatsoever. But I'm really curious to know what you think, Seth,
sure.
The audience thinks. IHOP announced they are selling bags of pancake-flavored coffee now.
Ooh.
They got three flavors.
Okay.
One is their signature blend, so probably what you'd normally get in an IHOP restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
But the other two are pancake-infused. One's called buttery syrup, and the other is supposed to taste like their chocolate chip pancakes. I want to try that right now. I want that now.
Ooh, my teeth are hurting already.
Yeah, mine are just begging me not to. And my they're already in grocery stores, so or will be this month.
Okay.
You can also get that on Amazon.
Yeah.
It's not clear if they're planning to offer new flavors at restaurants, too, or if it's just a home thing.
Hmm.
But it's an interesting thing.
Yeah, it is. I'm always out for trying new kinds of coffee flavors. You know, when I first met Beth and we started dating and everything, I was a strictly straight up black coffee, no, just, you know, old school coffee drinker. But Beth, of course, she loves lattes and all that kind of stuff, and she always had some kind of flavored coffee. So now I've gotten used to it. Mm. You know, we've lived together for, you know, almost 13 years now. So I've gotten used to having all these different flavors, and it's fun, you know, to try. And most of them are good. Yeah. Every now and then you'll get one that's like, whoa. Yeah, that's enough of that. But other than that, I've enjoyed the whole process. So I'm behind this. I'm thinking, too, of the smell when it's brewing.
Yes.
It smells like pancakes going in your house. IHOP pancakes.
That's where I wanted to wrap. I get to this. One of my favorite things in the universe is opening a brand new bag of coffee.
Oh yeah,
and smelling that that first. Oh, God, that aroma, man. Good. Yes, I love it. Now, with these, you might have an added bonus. They may even smell like pancakes more and everything.
That's true. And maybe your whole house will start smelling like an IHOP. Just don't eat the grounds. Okay?
I got to imagine. You don't want to do that.
That might be tempting. Just don't do it.
I got to imagine you're also going to be eating a lot more pancakes with these. You're going to be like, man, am I hungry for pancakes?
I wonder, why am I so hungry for pancakes?
It's a good way to do that by IHOP.
Yeah, there you go. Let's go to IHOP.
I am not at all trying to name drop, but I have to tell the story.
Okay.
And I will pick the name up as I'm doing it. I was like you. I drank black coffee for the longest time. My papa drank it that way, so that's pretty much how I raised to drink it.
Right.
I did have cappuccinos here and there every once in a while, and I do like mocha flavored things. Mm-hmm. So every once in a while, I would try some of that stuff. But, you know, during the pumpkin spice for craze or whatever, I wasn't trying that or any of those things. Mm-hmm. I'm doing the Conan show, and they had, you know, my first day there, I was supposed to go get coffee for everybody because I was supposed to be an intern. That was the only day I ever did anything intern-esque. The rest of the year I was there or whatever, I was in the writer's room just sitting there working with the writers.
Right.
But that first day, I did grab everybody coffee. So nice. I could officially say that I did do intern-type things.
You did.
Everybody wanted pretty much like this flavor coffee, that flavor. It's in California in Burbank, you know, and Berkeley. So nobody gets just a regular coffee.
No.
I got a black coffee with a little bit of sugar in it.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. And Conan or one of the guys grabbed my coffee by accident, tasted it, and immediately like, oh, my God, what is this? This is horrible. and they start teasing me about it and everything. And Conan looks at me and said, is that black coffee? What, do you hate yourself? And it's been in my head ever since. Like now, my coffee is usually like my skin tone. It's usually like a little brownish, little tan, little
there
little
you
beige,
go, yeah.
Little like it just happens to be there. It's not just from that, but it got in my head in the sense of like, well, yeah, I do like to taste flavors.
Yes.
Why not put a little flavor in my coffee?
Why not?
But I can't overdo it. I can get the gas station coffee every once in a while if I'm in a hurry or something like that, or just to get me by. But if I'm making my own coffee, it's a dab of milk, it's a dab of creamer, and a dab of sugar. I want to taste the coffee.
Exact for me, that's what it is too. I want to taste the bitterness because I like the taste of regular coffee. I actually do like that bitterness. It was, you know, it's an acquired taste. I didn't like it when I first did it, but you know, I started drinking enough of it and it's like, oh, I actually kind of like this.
Yeah.
So
go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say, so putting a little flavor on top, that's fine. I have no problem with that. And like I kind of alluded to, the different smells it can do in your house when you have different flavors of coffee is actually really nice. I like that.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. And I notice as I'm getting older and I'm trying to be better about eating different foods and actually having a well-rounded palate and everything, that it's actually good for me to try the different things just because it gets me to my taste buds to break out of their bubbles and try some different things and everything.
There's some taste treats out there that you're not going to want to miss. Beth and I this weekend, you know, we went down to Madison. We had a show to go to, and we actually, for lunch, we went to the sushi place. That was one of the first dates we ever went on in Madison.
Cool. Oh, that is awesome.
And that's the first time I ever had sushi because I'd always wanted to try it. I never got around. Huh. I meet Beth. Beth is all about sushi and stuff. She's like, oh, we're going to go. We're going to go get some sushi. Up. So we were able to go back there. And it was really cool because
that
not only
really
the
cool.
place is still exactly the same as when we went there, you know, 15 years ago, whatever it was. Yeah. And but it was great. The food was still excellent, and it was great. It was so much fun. But that's if I hadn't have gone outside my palate a little bit, I wouldn't have known how much I like Japanese food and sushi and stuff like that. So
salmon did that for me. I didn't grow up eating a lot of fish.
Yep.
And when I was this is about 10, 15 years ago myself, the girl I was dating at the time, they have a very ritzy family and everything. And, they want salmon, but they want it grilled. And I'm the only one there that can grill. And I've never grilled salmon. So they told me a couple of things quick about it and everything. And I talked to my uncle about it and went ahead and made it. And I was like, okay, it tastes all right. And they're like, well, you could put a little barbecue on that. Like, oh, wait, huh? Well, all right. And I am a huge salmon fan.
Yeah, there you go.
I love salmon. Salmon's got a bit of chew to it.
Yes.
It's got a bit of a bite to it and everything, and I like that. I don't like the texture of a lot of fishes, but salmon for some reason has got that good, especially barbecue.
It's got a more solid. A lot of fish can be kind of flaky and that kind of stuff, but salmon is more.
It's all about texture for me. I used to think it was all about flavor. For me, I think as the older I get and the less taste buds I probably have, the more I enjoy. It's about texture.
Mm-hmm.
Can't really do the gooey, gappy stuff. I don't like yogurt or anything like that.
Okay,
like,
all
I'm
right,
not into that stuff. Jell-O, those kind of things. Like, doesn't do it for me.
I think more people.
Sushi seems squishy to me, and I don't know if I'd like it.
It depends on depends on what kind you're having. There's salmon in sushi. You know, you can have salmon with rolls and that kind of stuff. I was gonna say though. If I can remember my train of thought here, maybe if I keep talking, it'll come back.
That's a radio trope. It's a radio trope, baby. Anytime you hear us, the thing about it is, come on, where's that thought?
Well, anyway, that's not a big deal. But and that's, you can find as you go along, here, you can just take a chance, I say, for most people.
I think I
remember what it was. Okay, texture. I think you can get by. You can get through flavor. Mm-hmm. If it's a flavor you don't like, I think you can you can go through it. It's fine. You can, I'm not really enjoying this, but I'm doing it. But I think for a lot of people, you can't get past texture.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I just can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't eat it,
I never thought about it before.
Yeah.
But now, the more I'm – so my taste buds are, much better now than they were when I was younger and everything. But with that comes potatoes are squishy. Don't like mashed potatoes. I'm like the only person in the world, but I'm just not a big mashed potato guy.
So you're not going to join me in any oysters or anything like that?
No. I like to. This is weird. No, not oysters. Definitely.
Oh,
not.
Love oysters.
Those look weird to me, man.
Yeah, they are weird, but I like them anyway. They're good.
There's certain foods that it doesn't. With an oyster, that's a good one. Like the mushiness and everything like that. The mashed potatoes, the mushiness and those stuff like that. I'm trying to be better about these things, but I like to work for my food. I don't know what it is.
Okay,
but when I'm eating steak. Like, I want it to be chewy, yes. I don't want it to be hard to chew or anything, but I don't mind cutting my steak up. I don't mind like, those things. And if I want to take my time chewing every piece. I don't want to dip it in things. I want to taste the steak.
Especially if it's a good one.
It's a really
prime cut of meat there. I'm kind of with you. If I had to pick my favorite meal, probably would involve pork chops because I love pork chops. But it's the same thing, it's like carving it up, cutting a nice slice and then savoring it. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Favorite flavors of coffee or different flavors you've tried, or what's the weirdest flavor you've tried? We got a couple of different things we can go to here. I'm just going to throw out a bunch of random topics
and
see what people want to call up about.
Yeah. So
you got the hour to do it, everybody. We'll keep the topic alive for the next hour, 424-2600. When we come back, we're going to get into our National Day of calendar. We got Melissa's news after that and plenty more coming up for you on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you. Time to dive into our National Day of calendar for this May 18th, 2023.
Nice.
It is National No Dirty Dishes Day.
So either wash those dishes or use paper plates, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah,
you don't have to worry about
there
dirty dishes at all.
Give yourself a break from the drudgery of dishes for one day by eating only food that doesn't create dirty dishes. You were dead on this
one. Yeah, I guess I was. How about that?
Nicely done. Nicely done. Not a whole lot more to it than that.
No, there really isn't. try to avoid dishes day. I think is what it is.
That should be that. Yeah. But either way, it works.
That's hard though. It's really hard. You know, even if you have to use a knife, you know, like butter or something, there's always something that you got to use.
Not a lot of advantages of living alone, but having the one dish every day to clean,
that's
you know,
nice.
Kind of thing. That is nice.
That's one of the pluses, yeah.
It is Global Accessibility Awareness Day.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Huge one.
Big one.
Join an event or webinar and engage in the discussion of how to make the internet more accessible to all, including a wide range of disabilities and limitations. We just touched on this yesterday with the borderline freaky kind of thing that Apple has where it can mimic your voice.
Yeah, yeah.
The positives that might have for deaf people, for blind people, for anybody impaired. There's no words for something like that.
No.
You ever watch those videos of people hearing for the first time?
I think I've seen one or two. It's been a while, but I think I have in the past.
If anybody out there hasn't, I cannot encourage you enough to at least watch one.
Yeah.
Not only for the perspective that it'll give you, but the beauty of it, the joy of it and everything. I don't care how black or dark your heart is, you're going to smile at that. Voldemort would have smiled at that. James Bond villain would smile at those videos. Yeah. Like it's really impactful. It's also a huge moment of perspective.
Oh, yes.
Most of us don't remember, but are told what our first word is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our parents tell us or something like that. There's a story that goes along with us. How many of us remember the first thing we heard? You know,
nope.
We don't because we were fortunate. We have the blessing of being able to take advantage of hearing and, you know, hearing whatever we hear and stuff. For those in that situation, that's incredible.
Yes.
It's just a remarkable thing. And to put yourself in those shoes.
Yeah. What's the name of the you're a Val Kilmer fan.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of the movie where he plays the blind man who gets his sight back? I can't remember the name of the movie. It's driving me crazy. The Gary Sorvino's in it.
About. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but which I thought was a really good movie.
It was,
he does a great job with about very, you know, of acting through. It's like, wow, he does a surgery and all of a sudden he can see again. And then what happens afterwards? I don't want to spoil anything, but but it
isn't a bad movie.
No, it isn't.
I
he did
can't
it.
Think of
his
it.
Performance was really good in that.
I for some reason want to keep saying In Plain Sight, which is not the name. It's a completely opposite thing.
Yeah.
Or completely opposite.
Man.
Not good.
No,
not
that's
good.
What.
When it comes to the those with disabilities and technology, bridging that gap is more and more important every day because technology becomes more important every day, and we can't afford to have anybody left behind. This is something we talk about a lot with our seniors, that those that want to understand tech. Hey, go over to McMillan; they'll help you out. They got a lot of people over there that are willing to do that. Reach out to your relatives. Reach out to us. I mean, we'll help you. Anybody, you know, I don't want anybody left behind on this stuff.
No, not at all. And there's a podcast, a technology podcast that I listen to. I haven't listened to it yet, but the title of it is "People with Disabilities Were the First Hackers."
Huh.
They're the ones in order to do certain things. They're the ones that would modify things and like what we call hacking now. Hacking, and it's way back into the day. The phone, doing stuff with phones, doing stuff with all that. And I'm really, I can't wait to listen to it because I'm like, wow, that is just cool. I just want to hear about that history.
That is really cool.
Yeah,
that is awesome. I love that. And it's a great name. It is National Visit Your Relatives Day. Come on, it's the one day. I would love to do this.
Yeah.
I miss every one of my relatives. I haven't seen most of them in so long. I would love to do this.
It's one of those, because both of our families are kind of widespread out, you know, in different places. It's hard to be able to visit relatives without spending a lot of time and money, you know, having to go somewhere and that kind of stuff. But, that would be nice. I agree with you. If we could have a chance to visit our relatives more.
It is not the same thing, but for lack of a better way, there is Zoom, there is Skype, there is Facebook Messenger. There's plenty of ways to interact with family now, thankfully. But in person is still the best.
Yes, I agree.
If you're able to, especially if you're somebody, you talk about being perspective and being fortunate for things. There's people like Seth and I that are transplants where most of our family is out of state and all that. If you are somebody that has family close by, See them.
Yeah.
See them. Take advantage of it.
It's a great thing to have, and it really is.
Unless you just saw them yesterday, then no, man, you don't have to do that. You don't. No, I'm kidding. 99% of us, I'm sure, love our family.
Yes.
International Museum Day. Yes.
I had a fun day coming back from Madison on Saturday. I was looking up, just to pass the time with my family, I was looking up the most interesting museums.
Yeah.
And we talked about the one we talked about last week, the Museum of Play in Rochester, New York, where the Video Game Hall of Fame is. And that's where also the Toy Hall of Fame is and all that kind of stuff. But I found some really cool ones. What was it? Some ones that seem kind of boring, too. Salt and Pepper Shaker Museum. Yeah. I think it's in Missouri. I might pass on that one, but you never know. Someone might like it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. If they got a museum for it, there's definitely people that
they want to go see it. Definitely. Yeah, that's right.
As badly as I want to, like, there's no museum I don't want to go to. Mm-hmm. I would go to any museum in the world. The Science Museum in San Francisco is one of the most beautiful museums I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Of course, the Arts and Science and Natural History Museums in Chicago. Yep. I am biased and love and immensely. If you haven't been to them in a while, be sure to check those out. Mm-hmm. It is safe to go there. There's certain areas, maybe, yes, but not in those areas.
No.
You're fine. I've been to Canton. I've been to the Football Hall of Fame.
Yep.
I want to go to the Basketball, Baseball, and Hockey Hall of Fame. So I want to go to each one of those. And I just want to visit as many museums as I can.
I
love museums. I want to send a shout out to our good friends over at the Southwood County Historical Museum here in Rapids.
Yes.
They're at 540 3rd Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. They open at 10 a.m. and they are open all summer long.
Yeah.
It's a great chance to catch some history, to get some fun history, and to get some local history.
Local history, yeah.
Get some pride in your area.
Yeah.
You can always give them a call at 423-1580. They got a great website, swch-museum.com. Be sure to check that out. Also a great Facebook page as well.
Nice.
But it's a great way to support local and get some fun local history.
Yes, indeed.
National Cheese Soufflé Day.
Does anyone make cheese souffles anymore?
I don't even know what that is. I'll be honest.
Well, let's find out.
Dive into a fluffy cloud of cheesy goodness with a perfectly baked cheese souffle. This delicious dish will tantalize your taste buds and leave you feeling oh so satisfied. Culinary memories of the 70s and early 80s will find a rise in popularity of soufflés.
Mm.
This decadent dish with French origins is a crème pastéis?
Potesser, I don't know. Potesser. My French is terrible.
Well, and I'm Italianizing it, so which means it has an egg yolk base and is made to be fluffy and airy.
There we go.
Whether served sweet or savory, the souffle is a dish that requires patience, attention to detail, but is absolutely worth the wait.
Yes, the classic, oh, my souffle fell.
Yeah.
So if you don't do it right, the whole thing collapses and it looks terrible. And
I would try it. I would definitely try it.
Sure.
It does seem like one of those things where it's an art to make it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yes. 100%.
To pull that off to be able to make something.
It's one of those. It's one of those dishes that you hope it's worth the effort.
Yeah.
That you put into making it.
World Arc Day, A-R-A-K.
Yeah.
Raise your glass and discover a Middle Eastern delight that packs a punch. This vibrant spirit will transport your taste buds to a delicious adventure. It's a fun Middle Eastern drink. It's very popular in Egypt, Israel, Syria, Palestine, Jordan.
Very cool.
I've had it a couple of times. I don't remember exactly the taste of it. I do remember it being strong. I do remember that.
Very strong flavor, yes.
Most, drinks outside of the States here are like that.
They tend to be a little on the strong side, yeah.
Yeah. And finally, it is National Notebook Day.
Nice.
Open up a notebook and get writing. Jot down your to-do list. Journal your thoughts. Make lists or even try some creative writing. Just watch The Notebook, I guess. I don't know. Maybe that counts. I don't know if it counts.
Does that count?
Maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe it will. Maybe it does.
I love notebooks.
Yes.
I will own a notebook my whole life. I use it at my computer now. I still love spell check and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But there, when I'm first working on something, mm-hmm. it's got to be pencil and paper.
Nice.
I have to. I don't even try anymore. It's just it's something I instinctively do. All my notes for anything, today's show even, are start out in pencil form.
That's great.
And then I usually transfer them and everything so I can actually read them and understand the words because my spelling is so horrible.
My question to you is there a notebook that you prefer when you're writing in? What kind of notebook do you like?
I like the, I think it's College Ruled. They got the bigger middle, the bigger lines.
Oh, okay. Lines. Spiral bound or
spiral.
Spiral bound. Okay.
Yeah, I like spiral.
All right.
I got to have lines.
Got to have the lines
in
there.
I don't like the blank pages. I don't like that.
That's a scary, yeah.
Great for somebody who's writing or drawing.
Drawing,
great
yeah.
For
oh, yeah.
An artist. I am not that. I am definitely not that. I am lucky I can put two words together.
I know because I have one of my youngest son loves to use notebooks just to draw and make comics and stuff. He likes the composition books, you know, the little bit smaller ones that have the tape on the side, not with the spiral bound.
Okay.
And I know there's lots of people out there who like yellow legal pads to write on as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like the classic notebook, the black and white kind of notebook, and I like a lot of those. But my favorite notebook, and now I don't remember exactly, but I remember being in like grade school or junior high or something, and they came out with the 5 subject notebooks.
Yes.
Oh, man, I love those. Because now I'm going to be honest about this, and I'm not proud of this, but I'm going to be honest. I was really bad at paying attention in school.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Shocked. I'm shocked.
I hope everybody was sitting down out there. with those notebooks, I could be working on math in the front of the notebook and then flip to the other one right in the back and work on my stories.
Yeah.
And work on all my plays and everything that I was writing and everything.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I wonder why I graduated high school with Applied Math 2 being my highest level of math. I think I took some. No, I passed the geometry class.
See, there you go. Okay. See?
But no, no.
You know what a right angle
is. Let me correct that. I barely passed the geometry class. We will take a break right here. Get to Melissa's news. I bet you she's good at math, I bet. Yeah. She did some good math.
She's
classes.
Good at all that stuff. Yeah.
I would be more surprised if there's something Melissa's not good at.
Yeah.
That would be more surprising.
I agree.
She's great at news. We're going to go to her right now here on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Got Seth and James here. When you feel the world around you spinning out of control. We hope you're having a good Friday Eve out there. Happy Thursday, everybody.
Indeed.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Got some fun stuff to get to throughout the show today. We're going to have our day in rock history. We're going to get into our day in music history, really. It's not just rock music, but it's day in music history. We'll get into that in the start of the 8 o'clock hour. Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club in the 8 o'clock hour. 9 o'clock hour, going to kick off with our friends at the Southfield County Humane Society and our Pet of the Week.
Yeah.
Looking forward to all this. But right now, I want to call an audible.
Oh, okay. Let's do it.
I am going to call an audible. I had something lined up. We'll get to it in the next segment.
All right.
I've been sitting on this, and I can't wait anymore. I want to talk Jeffersons.
Jeffersons.
Yes.
The Jeffersons, the television show.
The longtime classic show,
okay.
Jeffersons. We're moving on up.
Yep.
Everybody knows it. And, of course, part of the reason you know it is because of the great Sherman Helmsley.
Ugh.
What are the better TV actors of all time? Sherman Helmsley, born in 1938, passed away in 2012. Of course, got his break as the character of George Jefferson on All in the Family.
Family, that's right. Yeah.
One of the early spin-off successes,
yes.
The Jeffersons.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the cooler things in TV to me is the spin-off. I when it works and it plays out well,
yep.
Frasier and Cheers, these kind of things,
mm-hmm.
I think it's really unique and cool. I've taken some, you know, I've talked to other writers about this, and some of them think it's lame or lazy. I think it's quite unique.
Yeah.
I think the power of any great TV show is you start out with your main characters, but it's the ones you build afterwards and how the famousness, the popularity of them, those kind of things. The Simpsons is the greatest example of this in human history. It starts out with 5 main characters. How many people know, like, 10 other... you can name 10 characters on The Simpsons before you even get to any of the main Simpsons.
Easy. I could probably... Yeah. I haven't watched The Simpsons in years. I could do that, yeah.
To me, that is a credit to the writers, to the creative team, to a show.
Yeah.
That's what makes a good... part of what makes a good show to me. is that.
Yeah.
So I've always been a big fan of the Jeffersons and all that stuff. And I've known a lot about this stuff. And Seth and I, you put us together, our brains together. We've got enough useless information when it comes to entertainment to fill multiple novels.
Yes, we could do that easily.
Yet all that being said, Seth, this weekend I found out something that blew my mind.
Yes.
That I had never heard of before.
Yes, it's remarkable.
I couldn't wait to tell Seth about it. The great Sherman Helmsley, the actor from the George Jefferson, from the sitcoms, the Jeffersons, and All in the Family, was actually a gigantic prog rock fan.
Of all things.
He was a gentle giant and a prog rock fan. Like, for one, Sherman Helmsley, little man, short guy.
Yeah, he wasn't very big. No, small
big
guy.
Big heart. Yeah. All heart, that guy. Helped a ton of causes, was all a part of help, like a bridging the gap of white and black and a lot of these things. Like, Sherman Helmsley, just a good guy, but loved himself some rock and roll and loved prog rock. And I want to touch on this. Sherman Helmsley, the late actor best known for the role of scheming George Jefferson in the Jeffersons, was actually an unlikely fan of progressive rock. In fact, he dropped a major clue in a scene from the hit sitcom, which ran 11 years and through 1985. Through 1985.
Wow.
That's amazing, by the way.
11 years? I didn't realize that.
Did anybody else know that? Because I did not know that it was on for 11 years. That. Wow. I didn't realize that. Helmsley briefly dances to a snippet of Nectar's song Show Me the Way from 1974's Down to Earth during an early episode of The Jeffersons when Lionel switches over. And I'm just going to play a little of this. mainly because I know you can't see it, but I want to see Sherman Helmsley dance. One of my favorite dancers of all time. I'm not saying he's a good dancer. I'm just saying I love the way he dances.
I said it's great music. Would you turn it off?
See? He told you right there. Like, that's
great music.
It's a prog rock song and everything. It got into the episode because of him. Helmsley also memorably contacted Gong's David Allen in the late 70s, hoping to renew a interest in their 73 album Flying Teapot LP through a Los Angeles Billboard campaign.
Oh, my gosh.
Allen was living in Spain at the time and says, quote, "He called me from Hollywood saying, I'm one of your biggest fans. I'm going to fly you here and put Flying Teapots all up and down the Sunset Strip." And he thought, oh my God, this guy is a lunatic. Is this really George Jefferson calling me about prog rock? Allen eventually agreed to meet with Helmsley, and they got together and stuff. Now, this never worked out. They couldn't work it out with the record company and Helmsley and everything. But ultimately, Allen and Helmsley, worked on other things together. In fact, Helmsley even tried his hand at making progressive rock. Though the music remains unleashed, in 1999, he told the webmaster at a Yes official site, so Yes, another big prog
another
rock
prog rock band,
that he was at work on a musical titled Festival of Dreams with lyrics written by longtime frontman John Anderson.
Wow.
The project was reportedly to focus on the spiritual qualities of the number 7, which is a little similar to another prog rock artist, Todd Rundgren, and his Utopia albums, and his Utopia theme and all that and everything.
Yep.
I'm giving you a very bad Cliff Notes version of this. I apologize, Weevil. But it's a little interesting. Prog rock and a lot of this, and you can word this better than I can, math rock, a lot of that stuff, there's intertwinings in there.
Oh, for sure. For sure. The thing that's kind of got me in this article is that the groups he's talking about are very obscure.
Yeah.
These are not like the big prog rock.
Sir,
this is not
Mr.
King Crimson. Or Yes, or you know, one of the other ones, or I'm having trouble with words today. Alan Parsons, those kinds of guys. So
there's a lot of interesting stuff here with him, and I'm not going to get through all of it and everything, but I encourage people to look into it. And it's another reminder too of you really can't judge a book by its cover.
Absolutely not.
I don't think it's far-fetched to say you look at Sherman Helmsley without knowing anything about him. Oh, I bet he likes R&B.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe he did. Maybe he does like that music and stuff too.
Yep.
But you just never know what a person's going to be into, how much a person's going to get into certain things and everything.
Or how certain things are going to speak to people.
You know,
you never know what's going to happen for that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's great. I love that.
I throw people for a loop all the time when I can name a bunch of outlaw country.
Yeah, exactly.
But that music speaks to me.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a rhythm that I normally get into or anything, mm-hmm. but the lyrics, the tone, the attitude, mm-hmm. that's hip hop to me. That's rock and roll to me. So it speaks to me. Like you said, I don't think we get to choose our music. Mm-hmm. I don't think we get to say I'm going to like this style of music.
And that's it. Yeah, exactly.
I don't even think our parents get to do that.
Mm-mm.
Like they certainly set us up and start us off, and we're definitely influenced by it.
Yes.
Whether it is we want to stay away from it, or it's all we want to listen to, or somewhere in between.
Right.
But I don't think we, like a lot of things in life, I don't think that it's a choice. I think it's like, ooh, I like this.
Yep.
What? You know, how can I go from Eric B. and Rakim's Paid in Full mm-hmm. to Johnny Cash's, live album from San Quentin?
Yep.
It just sounds good to me. It makes sense to me. It connects. There's a connection there for me. And I don't think we get to choose that,
yep.
Which is kind of cool. I don't think Sherman Helmsley chose prog rock.
He just found it, and he really loved it. Duke Ellington had the best saying on this one. He said, music is, you know, there's no genres of music. There's either good or bad, which means that you like it or you don't, and it doesn't matter what genre it's considered to be in anything like that. Either you like it or you don't, and that's it.
Duke knew something about music.
Yes, he did.
Duke Ellington definitely knew something about music. That's a great line. That's mm-hmm. a good bit. And I think it's true. And I also think that there's something unique about what's happening and has been happening in music for a good five, almost 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting rid of genres. Like genres,
it's becoming a big mass of everything. Yeah.
There's no more like it used to be, especially when we were in high school and you had like the rise of Garth Brooks. And I heard a lot of my friends say, you know, for every person I knew that loved Garth Brooks, there were some people that were like, well, that's not classic country. That's not true country in that. And now it's like pop country. And that became a term and stuff. Well, now it's all that way. All music's that way. Somebody tells me, oh, this is the biggest hip hop artist in the world. I listen to him. I'm like, that's pop music. What are you talking about? It's all kind of like that.
And the cool thing about it, the thing, and it can get kind of, you know, sometimes it's a little too much. But the cool thing about it is you can pick from this for your song. You know, hey, I can put like this folky intro into here.
Yeah.
But then we can go into like some real, you know, grinding guitars or something mm-hmm. like that, or put a little twang on it or whatever. You can do that now. You couldn't do that in the past. It's like, oh, they've gone country. I'm not listening to them anymore. You know, if someone tried to do something like that.
As tough as the music industry is on artists, it feels like to me to be one of the greatest times to be a musician.
Yeah, in a lot of ways.
The opportunities to be discovered with mm-hmm. Spotify, YouTube, et cetera, all these, singing competitions around the world mm-hmm. and everything. Hoozles Rise to Music. Yeah, you got a lot of different opportunities. It's a tough, tough industry.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not at all saying that I say easier, but in comparison to very, very difficult, now just difficult, difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that much easier. But it does seem like if you were an artist, now is the time.
Yeah. The distribution system is a lot better now in a lot of ways because of the internet, because you can put stuff out there. And it's not necessarily going to make $1 million on it, but people will hear it. People will respond to it. And I know most musicians, that's what they want.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily, I'm sure they'd love to make it, a lot of money, but in the big, they want to touch people. This is a way of communicating with other people, music, and that's what they really want to do.
Sherman Helmsley getting down to some prog rock. Getting down to Owner of a Lonely Heart. Getting down to
Is that considered prog rock?
No,
I don't think so.
No, it's not. I was trying to think
of a prog band, but
I was trying to think of a Yes song, and I went to a Mr. Mr. song. And it's your fault, actually, because of our bumpers, and I had a Mr. Mr. song stuck in my head.
Sorry.
No, it's
man.
Not your fault. It's my fault. It's my silly brain. That's pretty cool. And I use this as an opportunity to tell people again. You know, you got some people in history you think of. Look them up. Look them up. See what they were like.
Yeah.
See the kind of things they were into. You might be surprised.
You're very surprised.
Take a break. Come back, and we're going to have some more fun. We're going to talk about the Oscar Mayer Wiener Bumbeel. That's coming up.
Wisconsin's own.
on the morning show. Another Wisconsin's own.
Yeah.
Here at WFHR. Welcome back. Morning show here at WFHR. Take me down, six underground. Sneaker Pimps is one of the better names for a band of all time.
It is.
It's a great name for a band. I had a couple of good. That first album was good.
Yes, it was. Something, man, the forefront of drum and bass when that was so big in the 90s. Oh, my goodness.
When you talk about music and typing and stuff, now all the electronic music is almost under one umbrella.
Yeah, oh, yes, for sure.
And from house music to trip hop to like any of this stuff.
To EDM, yes.
And that's not the only thing changing. The Oscar Mayer Wienermobile is changing, too.
It's changing.
Now, that was a segue. No. That wasn't bad. That wasn't bad. Believe it or not, the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile has been around for 87 years.
87 years. Wow.
I did not realize that hot dogs lasted that long. I did not. Oscar Mayer just announced that they are changing the name from the Wienermobile to the Frankmobile.
The Frankmobile?
Mm. And no, it has nothing to do with the terminology or anything like
certain connotations.
Yes,
yeah.
It's a marketing thing.
Okay.
The change is meant to promote a new recipe, which they're rolling out this summer. Oh. The new formula for their all-beef Franks will feature a more balanced flavor profile and iconic beefy taste.
Okay.
Oscar Mayer last changed its recipe back in 2017.
Oh, has it been that recently?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The hot dog packaging will be updated as well, but the actual Wienermobile / Frankmobile will not be changed, other than some decals along the side that announce the name change.
First of all, people will still call it the Wienermobile for a long time, and that's fine. No problems there. But the Frankmobile, is it like Frank's? Hey, Frank, you drive. is Frank driving the Frankmobile?
I don't know if. See, I like this if it was in 1965. When people still called hot dogs Franks.
Frankfurters.
Something like that. Yeah. I don't think in our lifetimes anybody's called a hot dog Franks. Like, on a normal basis, at least.
No. No, you'll see it on the packaging. You know, it'll say, you know, I'll be Franks or something like that. But you're right. No one says it.
Yeah.
No one actually calls them Franks.
But what is one of the biggest selling points right nowadays? Nostalgia.
That's true.
People love nostalgia.
Yeah.
So maybe they're onto something with that there.
I think they should go further back. I love nostalgia, but I like nostalgia for times when I wasn't alive.
Yes.
So let's go to Red Hots. Let's go back all the way back. Yeah. I want to call them Red Hots again. Yeah.
It's a great name. They probably never needed to change it.
Not really.
Hot dog feels very lame. Feels like a very like that, like just like the exactly what it is. Like you want to describe to the person what they're eating, sort of. Frank's not bad. I like Red Hots. I like that.
Red Hots is good. Get your Red Hots. Red Hots. And I think part of that's the association with baseball. You know.
Yeah.
The legend is that the first hot dogs with buns, you know, as we know them today, were served at baseball games. We can't confirm that, but that's what the lore that's been handed down is that the first. Otherwise, you know, you'd have people with just sausages, you know, the Germans making a sausage kind of thing. But, you know, if you're going to be at a ball game, you need something, if you can, hold it in one hand to eat it like a sandwich. So some guy had a brilliant idea. Well, let's put it in a bun. Let's put some bread in there.
Oh, man.
And so you could watch the game, and just stand there, eat it. You don't have to sit down and, use a knife and fork or something like that.
I never heard that, but that's awesome.
I think that's true. I mean, again, there's been a lot of places that's claimed to be the first. Oh, the first hot dog was made here, of course. Yeah. You know, like any iconic food, you know.
I was at Tropicana Field in Houston watching a Cubs and Astros game, and it was not a very well-attended game. I was able to move up front.
This is when the Astros were terrible.
Yes, very much. To the point where I was spending a lot of time looking at the stadium. Like, they got a train there that runs
around. They do,
it's pretty
cool
and everything. Yep. I was trying to see if there was anybody in it and working it or anything like that and all these things. There was actually a really cool play that happened, and with nothing else exciting going on, that one play was really noteworthy. And I look over to another a person that was near me that I was gonna say something to about the game and everything, and it was a stranger I didn't know. The people I'd gone to the game with were out looking in the mall and things like that. I was the only one watching the game. So I'm watching the game. I look over at this guy, and he's a big guy, and he's got a bunch of food in front of him and a drink and all this. Well, he had a hot dog in his hand, and he starts clapping, but with the hot dog in his hand.
Oh, no.
And he got, like, a couple claps in before he, like, noticed what he was doing and everything. We just looked at each other, and in typical guy fashion, yeah! Like, we were still stuck on the play. Like, we completely ignored what he had just done.
You don't – yeah, you don't – that's the great thing about sports. You don't care how silly you look. No, you just do it. You're just like, woo!
He's got mustard and ketchup on his hands and a broken down, pitiful, like, sad hot dog at his feet. And all we could do is focus on this
amazing play, yeah.
I think it was like a triple or something like that.
Yeah,
it was
right.
It was a very slow game. Like, we were just happy to see
anything
some
happen.
Yes,
yeah.
Anything. I'll never forget it, though. The look on his face. He looks down, sees the hot dog, and immediately is like right back to celebrating. Right back. Like, I'm moving on. Moving on. That's in the past.
Oh, man.
Only in baseball.
Only in baseball.
There's certain, like, every fan base has their weirdness, but baseball, with the pace of the game, you have much more, I think, interactions like that. Those looks, those stares.
100%. 100%. Go to any game, and I don't care, even if with a pitch clock or anything like that. It doesn't matter. With baseball, there's always more time in between that you can get to know the people around you and that sort of thing. So.
I was trying to get us to go the hour without talking sports. I really was. I purposely set this hour up to where there was no sports, and we still found a way in the last minute. Dang it, we almost made it. We made it to the last minute.
It's unavoidable, my friend. I don't think we can do it.
Oh, bother. We will take you to the top of the hour here, where CBS News is going to come in and catch up on all your world news. After that, we're going to get a live and direct update from our good friend Paul Trombley in the Weather Eye Weather Center. Find out what Mother Nature's got going on today, tomorrow, and this weekend. Maybe be able to make some plans around that. That should be fun. Mm-hmm. After we're done talking with Paul, we are going to jump back in time and do something that Seth, based on a show that we used to do, Day in Rock History. We're going to do our own Day in Music History. We got to get that coming up for you.
Nice.
That's going to be on this on the docket. And after that, we're going to get into Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Plenty more fun coming up. And don't forget, we're going to kick off the 9 o'clock hour with our Pet of the Week from the Southwick County Humane Society right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.